Hey, one more thing before you go. Do you have a passion for food and family?
Yep.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to work in a high-end restaurant or a humble sandwich shop? Do you enjoy watching complex characters deal with their personal and professional struggles? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you might want to check out The Bear. It's an Emmy award-winning comedy drama series on FX and Hulu. In this episode of One More Thing Before You Go Over the Teacup Sunday, we're going to review the first and second season of this critically acclaimed show, created by Christopher Storr and starring Jeremy Allen White, brilliant guy, as a talented chef who returns to his hometown of Chicago to run his late brother's failing business. Join us as we explore the themes, performances, and culinary delights of The Bear. I'm your host, Michael Hirsch, and I'm here with my lovely wife and co-host, Diane.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Michael.
Hey, you know, it's interesting. When we watched the Emmys, we actually learned about a show that won Emmys, an immense amount of Emmys. And at the time, I think we had, I kind of heard about this particular show, The Bear.
Yeah,
but we haven't heard much about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And we were surprised when it was in a comedy. I know it got moved following The Rags. I heard it got moved to the comedy part or the comedy.
Right.
Let me try
it's
that.
Comedy.
Category. Hard word. Hard word. Category.
Oh, words are hard. Math is hard.
IR smart.
Life is hard.
Yeah. IR schooled.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
It got moved to the comedy category, and we thought, you know, we probably should check this out because we love TV, right?
And we love comedies. Well, we love all of them, but I don't know. For me personally, a comedy is probably my top choice, but hadn't heard a lot about this. And apparently our daughter, Nicole, had been watching it, and she never said anything to us.
Shame on her.
I know, but I have to say, I am so unbelievably sad right now because season 3 isn't out, and I need season 3 because we binge-watched 1 and 2 really quick, and I'm so sad. I love, love, love this show, just like everyone else. I mean, it deserved everything it won. Yeah, totally.
Well, realistically, here's the deal. I know that we're doing a review late because obviously if we'd have known about season 1, we probably could have reviewed season 1 right off the bat and then binge-watched season 2 and given you that. So we're going to kind of give you a quick rundown of season 1 and 2. So if you haven't or didn't know anything about The Bear like we were, you know, we're avid TV watchers, but I'd kind of say I saw it come up all the time, but I had no clue what it was. So in reality, we're going to help hopefully inspire you to a new little delight.
And who knows? We may have been the last ones on Earth to watch it. I mean, I guess that's possible.
It could be. Well, let's tell everybody about it. The Bear is an American comedy drama television series. It was created by Christopher Storr and premiered on Hulu on June 23rd, 2022, and it starred Jeremy Allen White as an award-winning chef who returns to his hometown of Chicago to manage the chaotic kitchen at his deceased brother's sandwich shop, which is, you know, it is brought back a lot of memories for me. The supporting cast includes Evan Mosk-Bachrach, Ayo Edebiri, Lionel Boyce, Lisa Colon-Zayas, Abby Elliott, and Maddie Matheson. In 2022, it was renewed for a 10-season second season, which was released July 22nd, 2023. In November 2023, the series was then renewed for a third season, which we're really, really happy about.
Thank God.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't know why Nikki never told us about this. She knows, number one, I love to cook.
Yeah, you do. Yeah.
So in loving to cook, it's like, and I mean, my first job ever was a dishwasher, of course. That's where we all start on the bottom rung. A dishwasher in a little Italian restaurant that was run by, it was called Two Guys from Italy, and it was actually run by two guys from Italy.
Yeah, literally.
literally. So, yeah. You know, I worked my way up from there up to bigger and better things, not necessarily in culinary school, but, you know, I did learn the ropes in the Italian business. I learned how to make pizza the Italian way, the Neapolitan way, from Naples, Italy, from Sicily, from Rome, you know, because there's different pizzas that are made that way. I learned how to make pasta. I learned dishes that I never would have dreamed about growing up in my, I mean, you're familiar with my, we'll call them family.
Your mother's cooking,
you mean? My mother's cooking, my mother's side of the family. You know, my mother's deceased. So, you know, sorry, Mom.
God rest your soul.
Yes. Exactly. But you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
She was very much about bringing the family together and having a lot of food.
Yes.
And that's what we can say that's good about her.
We can taste about that part. Exactly. Now, I was introduced to good Italian food actually before I started working. I started working at Tucas Mille when I was 15 years old. But when I was 11 years old, I got introduced to Italian food from my sister's then husband, my brother-in-law at that time, Roberto. And Roberto was from Rome. And Rome immigrated here. Mm-hmm. He's the one that brought Sergio and Giovanni and everybody else over. And there was probably
the two guys from Italy.
Yeah, the two guys from Italy.
Yeah.
Well, it turned out to be three guys from Italy, but the two guys from Italy really owned the store. And then Giovanni worked for them. And he went on to create another restaurant himself. But, I enjoyed that atmosphere because I grew up with, and you know this story, but I'm going to tell everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up, when I turned 11, I literally rebelled from my mother's cooking when I found good Italian Mediterranean cooking.
Yeah.
From a multitude of families that came over, and we all were living in the same apartment complex. So it was like a little Italy within that little complex. So I was introduced to, you know, how to eat, basically. I mean, really how to eat. And it kind of changed my life forever.
Yeah.
Forever.
You never went back to the other stuff, so.
No. And, you know,
even though holidays, you know, we still went back to that way of cooking or way of eating.
So you to go, you were introduced to my very large family on my mother's side, especially, not necessarily my father's side, my mother's side. You knew Roberto too. You had had known Roberto. We'd been to his family, you know, when he got remarried, my sister and him divorced, he got remarried. We went to their house quite often and we still ate good food there. I mean, from Roberto's side. Going to my mother's family, from the Christmas parties and the Thanksgiving, and things like that, she loved to cook. Yeah. From that perspective,
and it was a lot of food.
But there, you know, it's interesting because there's parts in this season too that could trigger people who have a very dysfunctional family, like I grew up with, and it literally reminded me of my mother in many, many ways. Reminded my sister of my mother.
Yeah.
My sister recognized it. Our daughter actually recognized it.
Yeah, she actually told you first, watch out for episode, whatever it was. I can't remember what number, but in season two, there's a certain episode. She said, it's probably going to trigger you. Just want to warn you. And she wasn't wrong.
Season two, episode seven.
She wasn't wrong. Is that what it was?
Yes.
I know it's called Fishes.
Fishes, yeah. Season two, episode seven. So it's interesting, but you know I really got drawn to this for two reasons. You know, I should tell what the premise is. The premise is a young chef, Carmen Carmi Berzato. There's the Italian, is Chicago Italian. Mm-hmm. Okay, inherits his family's Italian beef sandwich shop after the suicide of his older brother. He comes home to Chicago to run it, leaving behind his world of working in a Michelin star restaurant. So he went to culinary school and he became, you know, an elite chef, a very good chef. He won several awards and, you know, he was used to a very functioning kitchen and very ordered.
In a fine
dining establishment. Dining. Yeah.
In a fine dining establishment, right?
And it was, you know, like ordered. I mean, everything was done a particular way. Everybody was clean. Everybody was dressed nice. Everybody had a job. Everybody had a station. You know, I grew up in working from different restaurants. I grew up, not, I never worked a fine dining, but I worked stuff that was close to it. So, you know, I went from dishwasher to a line prep, from line, which is basically a sous chef, and then from that to a, you know, a fry cook, from a fry cook to a prep, and then on to a broiler. And it was a junior broiler. Then I went to a senior broiler type thing. So, I mean, I went up in steps like these people did. So, you know, I could see some of that working from that perspective. Then I went into breakfast cook, so I understood that perspective. So yeah, it's interesting because he went from that to his brother's unresolved debts, a rundown kitchen, an unruly staff, well, dealing with his own pain and own family trauma during the whole thing. You know, everybody. The first couple episodes in season one, and it goes on, but definitely, I mean, I almost stopped watching because it was nothing but screaming and hollering and yelling and slamming and throwing, and you were kind of going, holy
It
crap, what a
was,
bunch of chaos.
yeah, it was tough to watch. It was tough to get through, especially if yelling and chaos in this whirlwind of people not communicating with each other. If that can trigger some people, and it can be it can. Our oldest daughter, I would say, probably will never watch the show because I don't think she could get through just those first two episodes. But and there might be a lot of people the same way. So I just want to say, make sure you get through the first two episodes. I think by the third, definitely the fourth episode, we were not only okay with it and feeling, okay enough to keep going, but saw the humor finally. It was like, oh, okay, now I see why it was in the comedy category. Now I get it. But those first two episodes, you're like, what in the world are we watching?
What the
Like, I
hell
can't
is this?
even. Yeah, why did they put it in comedy, and why did it win? I mean, it was still good. The first two episodes are still good and interesting, but it sure didn't seem like a comedy. So give it a chance, keep watching, and it gets so good. So good.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I see what well, I think what they portray big time is in this is that these people, a lot of the characters, they grew up with each other. So, you know, they were all with tradition. They were all with family. So even though they were like friends, they were called cousins if they, you know, or uncles. And even though they were friends, well, I grew up in that atmosphere as well in some regard. You know, I in certain restaurants that I worked in, we were like one big family. You know, we partied together, we went out together, we took ski trips together, we did everything together, and then we worked together all at the same time. And it. You know, we dated with each other, and I mean, there were many different things, but we were like one big family. Not that I would date family, to clarify, but you know, it was interesting. You know, I mean, it was, to me, it was watching the. I kind of missed that to a point, you know, but I got that. I mean, I got it again when I was working for the police department, of course, and sheriff's department. Through law enforcement, I got that. I got the colleagues, the camaraderie, the cover my butt type thing, and so forth. But you know, yeah, this is really apparent in here. You watch them as a family. You watch them as a dysfunctional family. You know, but you watch them as a
Very
family, very
highly
dysfunctional.
dysfunctional.
And you got these people, Evan
But
Moss
they it
Backrock.
yeah.
Evan Moss Backrock as Richie. Richard Ritchie, I may be able to mess this up. Jeromovich, he's Michael's best friend. Michael is the brother that died, that left the restaurant to Carmi, but they were best friends, and the de facto manager of the restaurant. So, you know, Ritchie, to me, is the one that, when he first came in there, he was like the one that felt he had to hold everything together. He was like the manager, but he didn't do it in the form of a manager. It was yell, scream, holler, you know, and I'm gonna give a little pause if you don't want to know this. I'm gonna give just something a little away. You know, he's got an unruly crowd waiting to come into the restaurant, and he walks out and pulls a gun out and fires it into the air, tell everybody to calm down and get in line. you know, right. before they come yeah. in the restaurant kind of situation. Yeah. And so
he's a character that you really love to hate for much of it. And I don't want to give too much away, but for much of it, you're like, can he just leave now? Can he just go?
He thrives on chaos.
And then, yeah, he really does. And there's times it's like, okay, he's just making everything so much worse. Just go. And, but I'm glad he didn't. That's all I'm going to say. I'm glad that he didn't leave. I'm glad that he wasn't kicked out. Talk about a transformation. That's all I'm
going to say. Major transformation. There's some other individuals in here, the other characters in here that I have not seen before that, you know, they enter Ayo Edebiri. She just hosted Saturday Night Live, actually. She plays Sydney Adamo. She's a talented young chef who joins the Beef as its new sous chef under Carmi. He kind of hires her. And I think that, bringing her character in, she was a culinary student from a major chef school. And she comes into this chaos because I don't quite know the whole story. I don't think it really divulged the whole story, but she left another restaurant because of something.
They're not real clear on it. But I think what I got from it is something about something she tried to start herself.
Which she kind of, and I don't want to give it away, but you'll find that she kind of integrates herself within this reinvention of the Beef. The current restaurant. So when I say the Beef, she kind of reinserts herself within this. But again, what you see is, what I like about it is that you see a family that's already established, but then you see elements come in that want the change and need the change. You understand the other characters that really need to evolve, need to change, want to evolve, but they don't know how. And then all of a sudden,
I don't know that I agree that they wanted to evolve. I think that they some of these characters did not want to change anything. They did not want to evolve until it started happening. It was kind of forced upon them.
Then they recognized
they recognized it.
Yeah. You know, another one of the characters I really like a lot is, and he used to be a football player, and for some reason he doesn't play football anymore. Lionel Boyce, he plays Marcus Brooks, the Beef's bread baker turned pastry chef, and he's spurred on by Carmi's mentoring because he bakes bread, but he doesn't bake bread like. Well, when we go to Firebirds, you love that bread. Or when I make bread,
When you make bread or having Firebirds bread, it's so good.
Yes. And so he makes bread, but, Carmi can then say, this is too hard. It needs this and this. But instead of going, do it again and walking away, Carmi tells him how to fix it. And then once he fixes it, he goes, oh, yes, this is cool. I like this much better. Mm-hmm. And then things start kind of changing and seeing. So you see some involvement with each one of the characters, and you see them kind of grow a little bit on each one. Another character which we had learned in the beginning to kind of hate, and you can give me your opinion as well on that, was Lisa Cullen Zayas as Tina Moraro. She's a sturdy, stubborn veteran line cook who embraces the opportunity to train professionally once she realizes,
she's fiery. She's fiery. She's, woo, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of you got to watch her because the involvement with her, I think, is really nice too, because you at least for what I got out of it was in the beginning, I kind of got, boy, she's a bitch.
Yeah, she really was.
You know, but then you kind of see, but there's another side to her that, comes out. We won't tell you how it comes out or how it gets, turned, basically. But, again, it gives the credence to the evolvement between season one and two, especially, and the characters and the development. We haven't seen, you mentioned it, that the last time we saw something this good that was involving us so closely, like we were part of that family. You know, mm-hmm. I was sitting there listening to some of those arguments. And it's like, you know, Santa said, just shut up. You know, let's calm down. You go to that corner, you go to that corner, let's talk this out.
Well, I mean, I'll be honest. We had to, there were many times throughout many episodes that we had to stop it. We had to pause it and just take a breath. Like, I don't know how many times I realized I wasn't breathing. Like, I literally wasn't breathing. I'm like, okay, I gotta stop this. Oh, okay. I mean, it's chaos.
Roller
it's
coaster.
Chaos times 10. Yeah, it's
roller coaster.
But it's so entertaining. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we were hearing people talk about it, like at the Emmys, like, oh, this is the best show I've ever seen in my life. And we didn't know anything about it. And I'm like, and as we started watching, I'm like, best show of your life? Where have you been? Like, but then it all becomes clear.
Well, and like
and
I was
really,
starting to say,
it really is one of the best shows.
Yeah, and what I started to say was, you know, we haven't seen anything like that that drew us in so much since Ted Lasso.
Ted Lasso, yeah, it has Ted Lasso feels for me.
It does.
It really does.
You can kind of relate some of the characters, almost to Ted Lasso. Okay. Really, if you really look, you can kind of relate. I just thought about
you
that.
You can compare. Yeah, you can. You can compare some characters to others between the shows.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm really surprised that there is, and you're sure, I mean, you know for sure that there's no Ted Lasso people, executives connected
with
the show?
I'm pretty sure there is not, no. But sure, but you can really, yeah, you can absolutely compare. See, it's kind of based, it's loosely based on a true story.
Yeah, the restaurant actually exists.
Exists. In this form, but it's loosely based on that story, and they kind of took it and obviously took creative,
license
to it. I like Abby Elliott. We've seen her in other things. She plays Natalie Sugar Bersato, Carmen and Michael's sister, the reluctant co-owner of the beef, and you know there's a little tick to that which we won't tell you or give it away. You'll find that as you watch it. And then the other character that I think we really kind of relate to is Maddie Matheson as Neil Falk. They call him Falk.
I think they call. Do they call him Falk?
Yeah, his last name's Falk. Yeah, F-A-K, but they call him Falk.
K.
Because I thought, why are they calling him that? And, but that's his name.
And you said we relate to him?
No. I like him. Oh. I like that character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because you know he's kind of in Italian, you got a guy. You always got a guy. Well, Falk is the guy. You know, he's a handyman, right, for the restaurant. He says, hey, you can fix this, you can fix that. Oh, I can fix that for you. Don't worry. I can fix that for you. I can fix that for you. He feels he's working for the restaurant. And in reality, he just goes around fixing stuff.
Right. Well, you know, he's their childhood friend.
Exactly. So he's always there. And he's always thinking, I can fix that. Oh, I can fix that. Something breaks, I'll fix that. And he does. He actually goes through any kind of there's some unique things with him too. So you can watch it as you're doing it there. And then, you know, you've got
I would say that he is in those first two episodes where we were like, why is this a comedy? He is probably the only reason that it was like, okay, maybe it could be a comedy, because he really is the comic relief.
He really is.
Yeah.
Edwin Lee Gibson plays Abraham, a veteran line cook in the beef. He's close with Tina. I mean, these are some of the other characters. These guys are great. Corey Hendricks is Gary Sweeps Woods. He's a runner at the beef. Oliver Platt is amazing in this as well. He plays Jimmy Cicero Kolonowski. He's the best friend of the late father of the Bersatos. So, but they call him Uncle.
Yeah.
They call him Uncle.
They've known him since they were little.
Yeah, so it goes back to, like I said, you don't have to be blood to be family. So, you know, everybody's, you're all cousins, and you're all, I mean, you know that. I've got family that here that that aren't blood. We still cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the old the old spies with Chevy Chase, you know, cousin, hello, cousin, doctor.
I don't remember doctor. That.
Introducing all the doctors. Oh. You don't remember that one? We got to rewatch that. You got to see it.
Okay.
But they refer, they refer to him as uncle, and you know, he's the restaurant's key investor, and this all comes out in many different ways. But you know, it John Berthenol is Mikey Berzato. He's the individual that unfortunately took his life. Carmen and Natalie's late brother. He struggled with a drug addiction, and before he died of suicide, like 4 months before the events of this whole thing. That could be a trigger because they do have these flashbacks and things like that. But it also contributes to the dysfunction of the family. And boy, I tell you, I take a breath.
Especially after that episode. Ooh, 7 of season 2. Kind of like, oh, I completely understand.
Yeah.
I completely understand, Mikey.
And, you know, and
absolutely.
And that individual, I mean, I recognized him from the series, the movies in the series The Punisher. He plays a really completely different character than the Punisher. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those of you, if you recognize his name and you see him and you kind of go, well, what's he doing in this show? You have to watch it because you'll see that he has a wider spectrum of acting and creating mm-hmm. a character that is an interesting, I won't say unique character, but interesting character. You know, and there's a few other people in it, but there's also an individual in the show that you and I both like, but this is the mm-hmm. first time we've seen him in this type of a situation. Carmi's executive chef in New York City.
Oh, my gosh. It took me a few minutes, didn't it, before I was like, wait a minute, you know what that is?
Joe McHale is Carmi's executive chef in New York City when he was a chef, but he was very verbally abusive, very dismissive, just a plain butthead, plain and simple. And, you know, what you see is you get angry at this individual because, you know, he brings PTSD flashes back to Carmi. And mm-hmm. I'm sure, you know, we all in our lifetimes have had to work for somebody in from that perspective. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We can all relate to something like that. But it was a completely mm-hmm. different character that we've seen Joel McHale play because we've always watched him in a comedic, all the way from back when he did Talk Soup originally.
Yeah.
You know, it's always been a
usually, comedic. In a comedic way.
Yeah. Jamie Lee Curtis is Donna Berzato. She's the troubled mother of the Berzato siblings. And, you know,
I don't want to give anything away.
I don't want to give anything away either. So, you know, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, what mm-hmm. you see is an extremely dysfunctional family trying to create an environment. And you see Carmi come in as maybe a light of hope by trying to transform what is a failing restaurant that is in mm-hmm. an immense amount of debt. And that basically is, I don't know, I mean, I guess you call it a working man's restaurant. You know, it doesn't.
Blue collar.
Blue collar, yeah. You know, from that mm-hmm. perspective.
Yeah.
And take it to a fine dining restaurant, which is, you know, kind of a huge step up in the area of Chicago that they're in.
Yeah, because there's actually places closing around them all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
In this. And so they, you know, and it's just like in reality, I mean,
it's a stretch.
A restaurant is a really hard business to start, first of all, and keep running.
Keep maintaining.
Especially, you know, in the economy. That's a tough, tough business all around. They really, I mean, just what they try to do with it is amazing. Amazing.
Well, and I like, they introduced a character in season 2, Molly Gordon, as Claire. And it's a childhood friend of the Berzatos. And, you know, she calls everybody cousins as well, whom Carmi mm-hmm. harbored a crush on as a teenager. So, you know, the chemistry between those two is an amazing.
Great
through the whole season.
So good. Oh God, season 3, come on.
Yeah, season 3 needs to show up here because you know what you see is you see an evolution through season one into season two, and you see an evolution through season two, but then you see the dysfunction come back to haunt everyone.
Yeah.
Kind of a situation.
And that's how it ended.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it ended.
You know, it's to touch back real quick, the sandwich shop interior was copied from the Chicago shop, Mr. Beef, on Orleans in River North. The creator was a frequent patron and a friend of the owner's son. The series received critical acclaim, particularly for its writing, directing, and editing, acting, production values, as well as its examination of its subject matter. The first season received 10 Primetime Emmy Awards, including Outstanding Comedy Series and Acting Wins for White, Moss, Bacharach, and Edeberry. The Bear also won 4 Golden Globe Awards for with acting wins on White and Edeberry, and the Golden Globe Award for the Best Television Series, Musical, or Comedy in 2024. I do believe, after our apprehension going, what the hell, why did these people win? I do believe that they deserve to win.
For sure. I had no problem with it at all. You know, when we were watching the Emmys and we didn't know anything about it, and I think they were up against some of our favorite shows. Again, I can't remember who was up for it now. Was Ted Lasso still up for it? I think so.
I do think so, yes.
And, you know, I can't say I was angry or anything, but I was like, oh, what is this show that's stealing everything from our shows? Like, but yeah, it's definitely one of my favorite shows I think I've ever seen. I mean, seriously, if you have not seen it, you have to watch it. Just remember, you might be triggered, because it's, man, it puts you right there. It puts you right in the center of everything.
Well, and hence why I
stopped breathing.
Well, yeah, it's really, anybody that's ever worked in a restaurant, you'll recognize this. You know, no matter what phase of the restaurant you worked in, you'll recognize a lot of this. You'll kind of go, you know, wow. You know, there are some things within here that you kind of see. You see the family, you see the support, you see the function of how something can work from a chaotic perspective, but also work even better from a more organized perspective.
Right.
I
agree with that. I worked in restaurants too, not probably to the extent that you did. Definitely not to the extent in this. I mean, I guess the most I would be able to relate to is, you know, sometimes when we'd have those really, really busy days and so many people just, you know, trying to get to each table, and, you know, because obviously I was a waitress. I was a hostess too, but I was a waitress. So I think some of it I can relate to, maybe not as much as you. I was never really back in the kitchen or anything. And I can't say that, I guess, I maybe one place I can think of that we kind of felt like a family, partied together, you know, but not like you did. We didn't go on ski trips or anything like that. My first restaurant job, I was a waitress. I spilled hot coffee all over customers. So that was fun. Yeah. I thought I was going to get fired. Did not. The guy was very, 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 very sweet. And so was my boss. But yeah, boy, those are moments you never forget. So I think once you work in a restaurant, there are things that stick with you for sure. And it's usually in a chaotic kind of way.
Well, we met in a restaurant, but
We did.
So maybe, you know, maybe I was seeking out family in a restaurant because I missed the family, right?
I guess. I mean, you hung out there. You hung out there a lot. You were not working there. That's not how we met.
No, I didn't work there. Didn't work there.
But you patronized it a lot. So, yeah, you must have really missed the restaurant, Miz.
Well, you know, you find a restaurant. We all have our favorite restaurants. We all have the place we love to go. I mean, you know, your parents that come in and they have to go over here to Village Inn or IHOP. I mean, at home it's Village Inn. Here it's IHOP. You know, and
no, they go to Village Inn here too.
We all have our favorite restaurants. We all have, you know, the ones that we love to go to, whether or not they're, you know, the Well, I won't say greasy spoons because we don't eat at greasy spoons, but you know, we have favorite breakfast restaurants.
But I think we used to back in the day.
Kind of, sort of. But
The 50s restaurant that we won't name?
Well, yeah, but I wouldn't call that a greasy spoon. That was pretty good breakfast.
It was really good. I'm not saying it wasn't good, but it was kind of based on the 50s diner.
Yeah. Diner.
You know, technically greasy spoons, right?
Kind
but it was
sort.
Good.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah. You know, and then, you know, we always have our favorite lunch places, and then we've got our favorite dinner places, both casual dinner and the ones we go celebrate, you know, things like birthdays and anniversaries and things like that at. Mm-hmm. You know, the fine dining aspects of stuff. So, yeah, I think, yeah. But anyway, I think thumbs up. If I could put my thumbs up, I'd put my thumbs up. And 100%.
Four thumbs up.
Go, you know, you can find it on Hulu. You can find it on FX. But right now you can find it on Hulu. Third season should be hopefully coming up soon since they got, you know, done for it. But you can at least binge watch season 1 and 2 definitely on Hulu.
Yes.
If you don't have Hulu, we're not a sponsor of Hulu. Hulu doesn't sponsor us. We don't make any money or affiliate money from this. But obviously Hulu, you have to, is a subscription base. You have to pay for the subscription. But it's well worth it for, you know, some of these things that you're watching, especially The Bear. And then when it comes back on, you can watch it on FX or watch it on Hulu.
And if any of the streaming services are listening, I'm looking for a job that will pay me to do nothing but binge watch. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think.
I am here for you.
Many of us would love that, wouldn't we?
Oh, wouldn't that be the best job ever?
Ugh. Yes, it would. So, one more thing before we go. Do you have any, we're about to get weather, so whether or not weather is weather related or not, do you have any special days?
Let's see. They weren't weather related. Well, maybe kind of. So one of them is National Homemade Soup Day is today, and which sounds really good right now because I'm freezing. So you're going to make me some soup, right?
I will make you
some
soup.
Some miso soup. Okay, thank you. And then it's also National Hemp Day. I don't think we have any hemp to put in that soup, but if we did, we would.
We'd put some hemp in it. So you have
hemp's
your
actually good. Hemp's actually good for you.
You have your own personal chef.
I do.
You do. You do, you do.
I do. Thank you very much.
So, one more thing before you all go. Have a great day. Have a great week, and thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of One More Thing Before You Go. Check out our website at beforeyougopodcast.com. You can find us as well as subscribe to the program and rate us on your favorite podcast listening platform.
This.